We are back on Wednesday nights, and it feels oh so good. Finally, no more preemptions from the evil NBA. AEW going back on the road next week for their Road Rager show, back in front of fans outside of, I was going to say Florida, but they're actually going to be in Florida next week. This is your WWE Dynamite review for, wait, I'm sorry. AEW Dynamite. This is your AEW. Come on, JR. I mean, it's not the first time that this has happened. What is what must be going through Tony Schiavone's head or Excalibur's head when they're sitting there next to him? What must they be thinking at that moment? You're almost done. You have 5 seconds left in the show, right? You just showed this really nice highlights package showing highlights of all your times here over the last year at Daily's Place. You're going to go off the air on a high note, and you call it WWE Dynamite. You know, I have people who email me and go, oh, JR totally wants to go back to WWE. JR, when his contract is up, he's totally going to go back and work for Vince McMahon. I'm like, no, you know, the guy's got a house in Jacksonville. He's got a house on the beach. They treat him well. He's got no reason to leave. You know what? Now I'm not so sure. I don't know where his allegiance lies. That was fucking embarrassing. But no, this is your AEW Dynamite review. For June 30th, 2021, I am the Solemn Monster, back with you here in our normal spot, our normal time slot. For the first time, if you can believe it, this is the first time we're doing a live Dynamite recap on a Wednesday night since May 19th. Of course, I was live with you guys on Saturday for the Saturday Night Dynamite show, Kenny Omega one-on-one against Jungle Boy for the World Championship. We all thought Jungle Boy lost. You know, we saw Jungle Boy in that match. He got hit with the one-winged angel. He got pinned in the middle of the ring. And here, I thought that Jungle Boy came out the loser on Saturday. And then he went and he tweeted that photo of him playing grab ass with Anna Jay in the parking lot, trying to give her mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Prove me wrong. Jungle Boy won something far better than some stupid wrestling belt. Jungle Boy became Tarzan this weekend. Good for him. Today is also a very busy day for birthdays. I don't know how many of you are aware of this. There's a plethora of wrestling-related birthdays here on this date in history that you may not have known. For example, we have Ed Strangler Lewis. It's before my time. By, you know, I don't know, about 100 years or so. But Ed Strangler Lewis was born on this date, and we've got Terry Funk, who's almost as old as Ed Strangler Lewis. So happy birthday to the Funker, Terry Funk, one of the greatest of all time. Cody Rhodes, today is his birthday as well. Dax Harwood of FTR, celebrating a birthday. WWE legend, Alicia Fox, also celebrating a birthday today. And WWE Hall of Famer, Iron Mike Tyson, is celebrating a birthday today as well. The only time that you will ever hear me mention the names Strangler Lewis and Alicia Fox in the same sentence. Tonight's show was not overly exciting, really, outside of what I thought was an excellent main event. Excellent main event between MJF and Sammy Guevara. They had a hell of a match. Also on the show tonight, they set the stage for a future AEW World Championship match between Kenny Omega and Hangman Page, the direction that I've been telling you for months. Seemed pretty obvious that it was coming at some point. I thought they would hold off until Full Gear in November, but it sure doesn't look like they're going to wait that long. And it looks like these two guys are going to be on a collision course for All Out, their big show in Chicago, Labor Day weekend. That's kind of how things look like they're shaping up right now. So we're going to get into everything that happened on the show here tonight. You know, it was 95 degrees here in New York City, third day in a row. We are in the middle of a heat wave here. I got an emergency text alert on my phone earlier from the mayor's office. Felt all special and stuff. Of course, I'm sure everybody in New York City got the same text message. But I got a text message from the mayor's office begging people, please, please, cut back on your power consumption. Turn down your air conditioner. Turn down your air conditioner, which actually I did because I can't have it running when I'm live. So it don't feel too good in here right now. But we had a brief outage here the other day. All throughout the area. About 60 seconds, the power went out. Scared the shit out of me. After what we went through 2 years ago, we had a massive blackout here 2 years ago that went on for at least a couple of days, 2-3 days, something like that. I had about $200 worth of groceries that had to be thrown away. So, yeah, that was a little scary, and hopefully nothing like that happens tonight. But if the stream goes down for some reason, you will know why. But Dynamite tonight opened with Chris Jericho coming out to do commentary for the entire show. So if you are not a fan of Chris Jericho screeching on commentary all night long, this was not the episode of Dynamite for you. He was out there. The crowd was singing his song. He was so happy. He was there to hawk his new book. It's The Complete Guide to Jericho. He kept records of every single match he ever had in his entire career up until, I think, October of last year. That was the 30th anniversary of his career. Every single match, who it was against, who won, he gave it a star rating. I don't know if there's information in there about the gate and the attendance of the event, but he apparently kept meticulous notes. So he was plugging his book here on this show. So we started out with Eddie Kingston and Penta against the Young Bucks. And if Eddie and Penta win, they earn an AEW Tag Team title match. Matt Jackson was out there sporting a Hulk Hogan Fu Manchu to go along with his brother's goatee. I don't know what's going on here with the beard and the mustache game with these guys, but I think Tony Schiavone said they were out there looking like a couple of porn stars. But this was a hot opener. I thought it was a lot of fun. Enjoyed this match. Penta used a Cazadora into a DDT before hitting a twisting code red. He twisted his body as he maneuvered him down for the code red. And it was clearly a three count. It was clearly a three count. Referee Rick Knox was obviously not on the ball here. So either Rick Knox botched it, or more likely this is now part of the gimmick, because I think Rick Knox is always in the ring officiating the Young Bucks matches, I believe. I think he is the referee of choice for all of their matches. But he may be their inside man. Either way, Rick Knox is a terrible referee. That does not change that fact. I think I called him the Angel Hernandez of AEW. Little baseball reference there for you. Matt tagged in Nick, who came in with a springboard Hurricanrana. Kingston hit a German suplex. Penta hit a backstabber. Matt broke up the pin. Matt took out Kingston with a crossbody on the ramp. So he takes down Eddie Kingston. Penta and Nick exchanged strikes in the ring. Nick hit a low blow that, of course, Rick Knox did not see. Of course. Bucks used the Lucha Bros double stop pile driver finish, but Kingston dove in to break up the pin. Eddie hit an exploder on Nick Jackson, but ate a series of super kicks. Penta drop kicked, or not drop kick, but backdrop Nick out to the floor. And so out come the good brothers to distract the referee, which is not hard to do. It is not hard to distract Rick Knox. All you have to do is shine a little light on the floor. I used to do that with my cat. Doesn't take much to divert their attention. That's Rick Knox. Rick Knox is like a cat without the reflexes. So he was distracted. Penta avoided Brandon Cutler's cold spray. He accidentally sprayed Matt in the face. And what I loved about this is he kept spraying him. So he accidentally sprayed him, and he continued to spray. And I think it was Excalibur who said he was in a state of shock. He didn't know what to do. So he just kept spraying. Out comes Frankie Kazarian, who I think they call, what is this nickname? The Elite Hunter? Is that what they call him? It's a terrible nickname. The Elite Hunter. Doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, but he took out Brandon Cutler with a lariat. Penta took out everybody with a tope out over the top rope. Got in the ring, hit the package pile driver, and then a spinning back fist from Eddie Kingston led to Matt Jackson being pinned. 1, 2, 3. It is not every day that we see the Young Bucks pinned on this show, but we did tonight. They lose here in this opening match. In fact, I don't think that's happened at all this year. I believe this is the first loss that the Young Bucks, at least on TV, but I think at any point this year, have taken. and a rare instance of a champion in AEW being pinned in a non-title match. We see this all the time in WWE. Rarely do we see it in AEW, but at least in this case, we know that it is leading to a championship match. Whenever I talk about it in WWE, I talk about it because how many times have we seen champions get pinned and there's no follow-up? Or a champion gets pinned and the person who pins them does not necessarily get a title shot. I've always believed that if you're the champion and you get pinned, you lose the title. If it's non-title, then guess what? The person who pins you gets the next shot. And that's what's happening here. In fact, it's happening next week. Eddie and Penta will challenge for the tag team titles next Wednesday in Miami. They will take on the Young Bucks. I like this opener. Fun match. Tony Schiavone was in the ring to conduct an interview with the men of the year, Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. And it took all of 5 seconds for Ethan Page to grab the microphone out of Tony Schiavone's cold, dead fingers. His hand, he pulled the microphone out of his hand. He couldn't let the guy do his job. That's all Tony is there to do, is hold the mic. That's his job. Why even bother sending... I tweeted this out. Recording, there were a couple of AEW diehards who got very upset. Oh my God, you're criticizing of all the things to criticize. But these will be the first fucking people. If WWE did something like this, oh, they'd be online. Oh my God, WWE, look at this. What a shit product, right? Do it with AEW. Oh, they don't like that very much. I'm noticing a pattern here. You can't criticize AEW without having people crawl out of their holes and be like, come on, man, you're really nitpicking here. But I guarantee you, if that were WWE, they wouldn't be complaining about nitpicking. These people cannot take criticism. And what they don't understand is that when somebody goes on their Twitter page, they can tweet about whatever they want. So if you want to go on your Twitter page and you want to tweet about something positive and you want to tweet about something that you find that bothers you or something that you really like, you know what? Go for it, because that's the beauty of Twitter. Everybody has their own, and everybody has their own opinion. But God forbid you say something negative about AEW. Holy shit. The world is just falling down all around us. I've never seen anything like it before. Years ago, I thought about the TNA diehards, which I used to rant and rave on my show. I mean, we're going back probably 8 or 9 years now. That's what this reminds me of. You people got to cool your jets. There's something going on up here. All right? Take a chill pill. Sit the fuck down. Seriously. Don't tell me what to tweet on my Twitter. You can go fuck yourself. But what I tweeted is that what is the point of Tony Schiavone even coming down to the ring to do these interviews if every single time they pull the microphone out of his hand? Every time, without fail. We see it in every single interview. Tony Schiavone, he comes down to the ring, he stands there, and within 10 or 15 seconds, the wrestler is holding the mic, and Tony is just standing in the corner in that oversized jacket. He may have lost weight. I mean, if he did, good for him. I don't know. But he's standing there like he doesn't know what to do with himself. He just kind of goes sheepishly into the corner. I'm like, why is he even there? Is he trying to get his steps in on his Apple Watch? His Fitbit? I mean, what is the point of this? Can you imagine Mean Gene Okerlund, somebody trying to pull the microphone out of his hand? He'd slap them upside the fucking head. He'd be like, that's not how this works. I'm the interviewer. You're the interviewee. Mean Gene wouldn't stand for that. Tony should know better. So anyway, Ethan Page, I had to talk about that just to piss off all the people who tweeted at me earlier, just because I know it bothers them. Now I'm going to talk about it even more, just because I know it annoys them. He talked about, Ethan Page did, how Darby Allin just keeps coming back after all of these bumps, all of the punishment that he takes. He just keeps coming back. And so he said, you know, physically crippling you... I mean, after all, they did throw him down a flight of stairs, too. It says physically crippling you obviously is not going to work. So I've got to come up with something better to do. It's not an option anymore. It said the coffin match is going to cripple you mentally. It says every time that Darby thinks about doing a coffin drop, he's going to think of Ethan Page. So the fans were chanting, "We can't hear you." I don't know if the mic went out or what happened there. we transition from we can't hear you to what again with the fucking what chants. Good Lord. Good Lord. Lights go out. Here comes Sting. And Sting is dragging a wooden coffin with him through the tunnel. And we see a little video on the screen, and Darby Allin is, remember the old videos of The Undertaker working on the coffin for the match with Kamala? This was like Darby Allin's version of that. And it ended with him setting the coffin, which was upright, on fire. Sting then pulls the tarp off of the coffin, and it's like a toasted coffin, and out from the coffin pops Darby Allin. And he makes a beeline for the ring. He goes right after Ethan Page. Sting grabs Scorpio Sky, gives him the Scorpion Death Drop. And Darby is gouging. He is gouging at the eyes of Ethan Page. So the referees pull them apart. Ethan grabs a microphone. Says that Darby knows that he can't beat him at 100%. That's why he tried to gouge his eyeballs out. So he called the match off. They were supposed to have their coffin match next week on Dynamite. He went and he called the entire match off. And he said that what they can do is, next week, if Darby can provide, I guess, some kind of documentation or whatever, or signed whatever, that he will not put his hands on him, maybe at Fyter Fest, which starts in 2 weeks. I think it's 2 weeks of Fyter Fest. Week one is in 2 weeks. Then maybe at Fyter Fest, we can do the coffin match. So they're delaying the match at least a week. That was weird. If they wanted to do the match at Fyter Fest, then why didn't they just fucking announce the match in the first place for Fyter Fest? I mean, that's kind of stupid. Anyway. Next up, we had Jungle Boy. Jungle Jack. Against Jack Evans. As Jungle Boy was trying to become the first AEW star to 50 wins. Didn't even realize that coming into the match, but Excalibur pointed that out. Before the match, we had a promo in the back with Matt Hardy talking about how he was sending Jack Evans after Jungle Boy for stepping into Hardy family business. He doesn't even care if Jack Evans wins or loses. He just wants him to go in there and hurt Jungle Boy. So early on, Jungle Boy surprised Evans with a snare trap attempt, but, well, he put it on him, but Evans got to the ropes. They go to break. Back from break, Jungle Boy hits a series of running maneuvers, running drop kick, hits a clothesline. He caught a spinning kick from Evans. They fought up to the top rope. Jack Evans slipped out. Jungle Boy, though, flipped out of a German suplex attempt, landed on his feet, and locked on the snare trap for the win. After the match, out comes the Hardy family office. Matt Hardy, Private Party. Christian Cage, though, and Jurassic Express, they're right there to even the odds, and they make the save. So now we have Christian and Matt Hardy in the ring. I've been transported back to 2000, 20 years ago here. Christian hits his reverse DDT on Matt and chokes him out with his suit jacket. Jack Evans tried to get involved. Christian fought him off. And while he was doing so, Matt Hardy escaped up the ramp to the tunnel. So Jungle Boy is the first man to reach 50 wins in AEW. We had a pre-taped MJF promo where he was talking about Chris Jericho. I thought this was actually very good. He was talking about Chris Jericho, said that he outclassed Jericho week after week in the ring and on the mic. Told Jericho to call it quits, listed all of his transgressions against him. Jericho used to be cool, now he is a joke. Next week, he will announce the list of stipulations that he will give to Jericho if he wants one last match with MJF. We had a backstage promo from Andrade. Andrade El Idolo, who was in the back with Alex Abrahantes, talking about the big announcement that he and Vicky were going to make. It was interrupted, if you remember, by the Seidel brothers, who came out last week for their match. And so he was talking about Matt. He was addressing him as Matt something. He couldn't say his name. He's like, Matt who? What's his name? And Alex told him, oh, it's Seidel. He goes, oh, Matt something. So that's his name now, Matt something. And he challenged him to a match next week in Miami, the home of Scarface, the home of Tony Montana. Andrade will make his in-ring debut next week. They had to play subtitles for this. He wasn't even talking in Spanish. He was talking in English. And they still had to use subtitles. Please, for the love of God, get Thea Trinidad into this company. Please. Tony Schiavone was back in the ring. You can imagine what happened next. He was out there to introduce the AEW World Champion, Kenny Omega. Came to the ring. Kenny Omega now is donning a Triple H beard. So the mustache connects to the sideburns. Looks terrible. One guess I will give you as to what Kenny Omega did. One guess. What was the first thing that Kenny Omega did here in this promo? Why, of course, he stripped the microphone right out of Tony Schiavone's hand. Unbelievable. It's got to be a fucking rib. That's the only thing I could think of. It's got to be a rib at this point. Got to be a rib. So he starts talking about, he's rattling off a bunch of questions that he said Tony was asking him earlier today. He said, Tony said, well, I didn't ask any of those things. And Omega said that, he woke up today inspired. He was inspired when he woke up this morning. He said that he beat the toughest guy in AEW. He was the highest merchandise seller. He was the best high flyer. He's the most promising, up-and-comer in the company. Or anyway, these are the people that he was also beating. He mentioned beating Jungle Boy. He said there's nobody left. He's like Roman Reigns on SmackDown. Paul Heyman the other week. There's nobody left. He ran down the entire list of people that Roman Reigns has beat. From Kevin Owens to Cesaro to Daniel Bryan to Edge. Put Jey Uso on that list. The Fiend. There's nobody left. Same thing here with Kenny Omega. He says he's run through them all. There's nobody left. And so he said what he's going to do is take a little time off. He's got other championships, right? He's got the Impact title. He's got the TNA title. He's got the AAA Mega title, which he is defending in August against Andrade at Triple Mania. So he's going to take some time off and defend some of his other championships and other promotions. All of a sudden, he was interrupted by Evil Uno and the Dark Order. It come down to the ring, and Evil Uno disagreed about Omega being out of challengers, and Omega asked jokingly if he would be sending 5 of the Dark Order after him again, and said he wouldn't last 2 minutes in the ring with him, and he told them to go back and play video games backstage. And Evil Uno said that none of them have enough singles wins to challenge Omega, that's true, but they know somebody who does. Somebody who used to be good friends with Kenny. And Omega said, if you're talking about the person who I think you're talking about, first of all, I don't think he would appreciate it very much, you being out here doing the talking on his behalf. Which apparently was a shoot. Because they played Omega's music and that person that they were talking about never came out. And the fans looked a little puzzled and disappointed by the fact that this person never came out. That person, of course, is Hangman Adam Page. Currently the number one ranked contender. So, skipping ahead, they had another segment following this later in the show where the Dark Order was in the back and Hangman Page, beer in hand, storms into the room very upset. He was very upset. He was telling them, I didn't tell you guys to go do that. Why did you do that? And then he asked him, he goes, you guys think I'm afraid? Do you think I'm afraid of Kenny? And Colt Cabana pipes up and he says, I don't think you're afraid of Kenny. I think you're afraid of failure. And all the different Dark Order members now are giving him a little pep talk, and they're talking about how they believe in him. Win or lose, John Silver says, win or lose, we have your back. And they all walk out of the room, and the last person out is Alex Reynolds, who puts his hand on Hangman's shoulder and says to him, this is your time. And he walks out, and the fans in Daly's place, you can hear them cheering, and Hangman takes a swig of his beer. And that was the end of the segment. So it looks like All Out is going to be the destination here for a championship match between these two. I thought maybe they would play things out a little bit longer and get to it in full gear. That would be one full year since they had their match last year. But it looks like All Out is probably going to be the place. The seeds have now been planted. Seeds have now been planted for the biggest possible championship match they could do with Omega right now in AEW. Now they just have to create the intrigue, right, for the chase, because if it's going to happen at All Out, right, very beginning of September, tomorrow is July 1st. So they're right in that sweet spot, right? It's not too long, but it's long enough. 2 months, again, it's a little bit long, but it's really not that long of a time. Well, all they have to do now on television is try to find a way to really get people to buy into this match, to want to see this match, to want to see Hangman build up enough courage, right, and self-confidence in himself to come out and confront Kenny and accept the challenge and believe in himself and all that bullshit. That's what these next 8 weeks, I guess, right, of television are going to have to be. And frankly, I think Omega should disappear for a few weeks. I don't think we need Kenny Omega on the show every week. He's the world champion. He is going to be defending his title in other promotions. He'll be defending his title in Impact against Sami Callihan in a few weeks at Slammiversary. So I don't believe that Omega needs to be on the show every single week. So 2 months is more than enough time to build this match up and build up Hangman Page as the number one contender for the title. And it really, I think also it couldn't be coming at a better time because they're going back out on the road next week in other buildings, in other cities, in front of other fans, in front of bigger audiences, right? Bigger crowds. And you're going to see the enthusiasm for Hangman Page, who is still one of the hottest babyfaces in the entire company. People are still into him. He was kind of cooled off for a little while there. He wasn't really doing much, but now it's time to heat him back up. And as they get back on the road, you're going to see these fans are going to be taken to this guy. They're going to want this guy in that spot. Now is the time to build him up and build to this title match and build to a title win. I do believe that Hangman should be the one to take the belt from Kenny Omega. I mean, if Kenny Omega beats Hangman Page, then I don't know where you go from there. This has been tailor-made for a long time for this to be a title win for Hangman Page. Unless he doesn't win it the first time, they do a rematch. I mean, they could always do that. But I think that's exactly what the outcome here should be. Yeah, and Frost in the chat says, you know, hopefully Kenny's body can hold up. I mean, I've talked about that in recent weeks as well. Kenny Omega is very banged up. He's got a lot of aches and pains and minor injuries that he's dealing with, nagging injuries. So could be a case where he drops the belt to Hangman and maybe he goes away for a little while. Maybe he drops all the belts. Maybe he will lose the other belts before he loses the AEW title. I wouldn't do it that way. But it's entirely possible that the first title change will come at Slammiversary. He might just lose that belt back to Sami Callihan. And then in August, he drops the AAA mega title to Andrade. To me, that would telegraph an AEW title loss, though. And Omega has been winning all of his matches. Again, I wouldn't do it that way, but I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to envision Omega having these matches and just continuing to beat these guys, right? At some point, Impact has to get their belt back. And Andrade would seem like the perfect person to take the AAA Mega title after Omega. So maybe he will. He'll drop one title, you know, step by step until they get to All Out and the match with Hangman. Miro against Brian Pillman Jr. for the TNT Championship. Pillman went right after Miro at the start. Miro beat him down, though. Pillman got a couple of strikes in, but got crushed with a fallaway slam. That led into a commercial break. Back from break, Miro landed 9 of those Sheamus clubs to the chest. He went for a 10th. Pillman countered. Springboard dropkick. And when he hit the springboard dropkick, that's the move that Jericho does. Jericho marked out. He freaked out on commentary. He said, I invented that move. So that sends Miro to the floor. Pillman hits a running, diving dropkick through the ropes. Back in the ring, Pillman hit a springboard clothesline. Miro, though, kicked out at 1. So Miro countered another springboard from Pillman. Pillman had it scouted, though, landed a series of thrust kicks. Miro caught one of them, though, hit a high kick of his own. He called for game over. He locked on the submission. Pillman was fighting and fighting, but Miro pulled back, and Pillman went out. And when Pillman went out, the referee called a stop to the match, and Miro retains the title. I thought Pillman played the underdog role well. I enjoyed his promos, those babyface promos they played on TV. Leading into this match, I thought those were good. I thought he had some good fire here in this match. He got some hope spots in, but this was another dominant win for Miro. And Miro is being booked perfectly right now. And I would not have said that 4 months ago. It's night and day in terms of the booking of Miro. They even gave him new music. It sounded like new music tonight. Comes out and it's like godlike when he walks to the ring. But the booking of Miro right now is exactly what it needs to be. He just has to continue to go on a tear, you know, for the next several months until they find somebody worthy of being the one to unseat him as the champion. I don't know offhand who that babyface is. I don't know that they know, because I wouldn't be thinking about taking the title off Miro anytime soon. They can figure out who that person is going to be. Unless they just give it back to Darby. But that would seem like a backwards step backwards. We had breaking news from Team Taz. We went to the back and Taz was back there with Hook. This might have been the first time that Hook said anything. He said something very briefly. Like he was fed up and tired with what's going on. And Powerhouse Hobbs was there, but there was no Brian Cage and there was no Ricky Starks. And the announcement was that on July 14th, which is night one of Fyter Fest, Brian Cage will defend the FTW title against the now medically cleared Absolute Ricky Starks. So that's great news that Ricky Starks is officially cleared. He's going to be back in action. Huh. Sucks for him that it's going to be in the ring with Brian Cage. But it's good. I'm very happy to see that he's back in action, because Ricky Starks is another one of those guys I would put on that list. And I'm going to talk about two of them here in the main event in a little bit that this company could build around for years to come. Two of the hot young stars in this company were Sammy Guevara and MJF in that main event. But you put Darby Allin on that list, you put Hangman Page on that list, and you put Ricky Starks on that list as well. There's a whole like nucleus of them right now in this company. And whenever you hear about a fractured neck or any kind of neck injury, he's very fortunate he didn't need surgery. If he needed surgery, he'd be out for a long time. Hopefully he's healed up. And we'll see him in the ring in 2 weeks against Brian Cage. Speaking of injuries, this is exactly what I was just talking about, right? With the, you know, you don't want a neck injury. You don't want anything broken. Unfortunately, there was an injury, or what appeared to be an injury, here in this next match. Britt Baker and Rebel, not Reba, taking on Nyla Rose and Vicky Guerrero. Sadly, there was no swerve here, like I was kind of hoping there would be, and Vicky did wrestle. Vicky did wrestle in this match, which should never happen again. Britt got a huge pop, by the way. Heel Britt Baker gets a big babyface pop on her way to the ring. Vicky got in Rebel's face with the whole excuse me bullshit before the bell, so she got knocked down by Britt Baker, and Vicky tagged out to Nyla Rose. So after a commercial, Rebel is in the ring with Nyla, and she rolls up Nyla for a near fall. Britt Baker makes the tag. She hits a sling blade. Nyla Rose went for the beast bomb, but Britt flipped out of it. Baker got the surgical glove, setting up for lockjaw. But Nyla hit her with a choke slam, and she draped Britt over the ropes and climbed up top to hit that diving knee, connecting right with Britt's head as Britt is just dangling there over the top rope. And as she goes for the pin, Rebel gets into the ring to break up the fall. There was absolutely, and I went back and I watched it, and there was absolutely nothing about this diving save that looked different than any other save that you would see in a tag team match. It didn't look like she tripped. It didn't look like she maybe twisted her leg or planted her leg in any kind of gruesome way or anything like that. She got into the ring. She made the diving save, but you can tell as soon as she made the save and broke up that pin, something was wrong. And she could tell. You can see by the expression on her face. She immediately communicated to Nyla that she was hurt. She dragged herself over to the apron. Clearly, she was in pain. Vicky tagged in. Nyla went to the top rope. And Britt Baker pushed Vicky into Nyla, which sent her crashing down. So Nyla falls off the rope. She crashes down onto the apron before falling and hitting the floor. Baker applied lockjaw on Vicky Guerrero, who submitted. After the match, Nyla attacked Britt from behind, hit the beast bomb. Vicky set up a table outside the ring on the floor, and Nyla powerbombed Britt down through the table. So a beast bomb down out of the ring through the table. And that laid out the AEW Women's Champion. The bigger story here, though, is Rebel. When the match was over, and there was fan footage online that people were posting on Twitter, as they cut to the next segment, which was a promo with Jake Hager and Santana and Ortiz, you could see it up on the big Videotron, in the arena, in the building, Rebel had to be helped from the ring. She could not stand up and put any weight on that leg. And it took them a while to get her until finally, you know, once they got her on the ramp, they had to physically just pick her up and carry her through the tunnel to the back. It looked bad. It looked real bad. She couldn't put any weight at all on that leg. And it sucks. I'm sure we'll have an injury update soon enough. Just based on that, it don't look good. And how cruel, by the way, for a woman who, in storyline, had hurt her leg, I believe, right, and was carrying crutches around for months. Only recently did she get rid of the crutches, and now it looks like she may be on a real pair of crutches very soon. So a little cruel twist of fate there. Main event time, it was Sammy Guevara, or as his theme music says, Sammy Guevara. I like his theme music. A very talented man did the theme song for Sammy Guevara. You should all be listening to his music. One-on-one against MJF, Maxwell Jacob Friedman, a rare MJF match here on Dynamite. And I was thinking to myself, boy, you know, it's been a while since we've seen. It feels like it's been a while since we have seen MJF in a singles match or any kind of match, let alone a singles match, here on Dynamite. And there's good reason for it. This was his first singles match of any kind since December. MJF has not had a singles match at all since December. And according to Josh Nason, there you go, Josh Nason of F4W Online, Sammy Guevara is right behind him. Sammy Guevara had not had a singles match since an episode of Dark in early January. So it's not a case where either of these guys were dealing with injuries because they've been doing the whole gang warfare thing now for months. But two of the biggest, youngest stars in this company have not had singles matches at all in 6 months, 7 months. It's crazy. That is insane. I had not thought it was that long, but apparently that is the case. But two of the biggest young stars here in AEW going one-on-one. And they had one hell of a match. I thought this was an excellent main event. And the crowd at Daly's Place was super into it. MJF, early on, right at the beginning, took a powder outside, like any good heel. Came back inside, and he took down Sammy with a shoulder tackle. Then they had a whole series of counters. Back and forth. You know, I mean, this was one of these, like, chain wrestling sequences, and it ended with them each doing a kip-up, and they got their, you know, kudos and applause from the crowd when it was over, so, you know, that was cool to see. So Sammy was attacking in the corner. Referee tried to break it up. MJF used the distraction to poke him in the eyes. Sammy fought back and went up top for the 630 senton, but MJF rolled to the floor. Sammy went after him, back in the ring, hit a double springboard cutter for a near fall. MJF swept out Guevara's leg on the apron and then sent him into the barricade. And Sammy was selling that he had hurt his knee upon impact. So that led to the final commercial break of this show. We come back, and the big spot here is that Sammy hits MJF with a springboard Spanish fly. Takes him down. Crowd's really into this. Everyone's on their feet. We got a twisting tornado over the top out onto MJF. Throws him back into the ring, and he hits a springboard destroyer for a near fall. Or a Cuban destroyer. Jericho called it a Cuban destroyer, so we'll call it a Cuban destroyer. MJF went outside to grab a chair. Sammy hit a diving drop kick through the ropes, kicked the chair right back into his face. And that sent MJF over the barricade. So now he's over the barricade. He's basically in the front row. Sammy goes up to the top rope, hits a diving cannonball out of the ring, over the barricade, onto MJF in the crowd. RVD would be very proud of that spot. That was the distance that he got on that was impressive. Sammy rolls him back inside. He goes up top. And again, he's going to try, I guess, for the 630, but MJF pops up. And he collapses into the ropes, which causes Sammy to be crotched on top. So then, this is the spot that bothered me. As much as I love this match, this spot really got under my skin. So MJF has him up. He's standing on the middle rope. He's got him upside down in a tombstone position. And MJF hits a jumping tombstone pile driver to Sammy Guevara from the middle rope on the inside. And Sammy Guevara kicked out. And I know at this point, it shouldn't let it bother me, right? We've talked about the Destroyers and how those have been bastardized and all that. A jumping tombstone, though, from the middle rope, from the top rope, you can't be kicking out of that. I'm sorry. That is not a spot that you kick out of. But he did. He kicked out of the jumping tombstone from the middle rope. Not a fan of that. How is that not the fucking finish? How? How is that not the fucking finish? Anyway, what's the point? MJF starts selling, though, that he hurt his knee. Even though he was the one who delivered the move, I guess, upon impact or whatever. It tweaked his knee or whatever, so he's selling that he hurt his knee. Sammy hits the GTH, and MJF is out, or seemingly out, but he's near the ropes. Sammy goes for the pin. His momentum, though, in hooking up MJF for the pin causes MJF's foot to get caught up in the ropes, and there's a rope break. Exactly, and what do you think that reminded me of? I can't be the only one who thought of this. It reminded me of that great near fall in that WWE title match on Raw, probably 6 years ago now or so, between Seth Rollins and Pac. Right, Neville, who hit the black arrow, or I guess it would have been the red arrow, off the top rope. Everybody thought that Neville was going to be the new champion, and his momentum took Rollins over enough that his feet were in the ropes. Fantastic fucking near fall. This wasn't as fantastic as that. Not nearly as good, but that was the idea, is that his momentum carried him over more than MJF taking his own foot and putting it on the rope. So he was not able to get the pin. Sammy goes up top, and MJF looks up, and he is begging him not to do it. He is begging him not to dive off. And he hits the 630 senton anyway. He gets a 2.9 count before MJF kicks out. Sean Spears walks out. Jericho says, gotta go. And he leaves the announce booth to go make sure that Sean Spears doesn't get involved in this match. When Jericho gets jumped from behind by Wardlow. And Wardlow is kicking the hell out of Jericho, and he throws Jericho off the stage, off the, you know, the platform, down onto the ground, right in front of the timekeeper's table. So that takes out Jericho. With referee Bryce Remsburg distracted by all of this, because Wardlow was yelling at him, hey, Bryce, look what I'm doing, right? So Bryce is distracted. At least he has a reason to be distracted. Rick Knox, I think, was just born that way. The referee is distracted. Sean Spears has a chair, and he hits Sammy in the head. Thankfully, Sammy got his fucking hands up, which some people don't do that. Hit him in the head with the chair. And MJF crawled on top of him to get the pinfall for the win. Fuck finish aside, I mean, that was a, you know, typical heel finish. I thought the match was excellent. I thought this was a hot match. I did not like that jumping tombstone spot. If it was a finish, I wouldn't have any issue with it. But the fact that it wasn't, I think, is fucking bullshit. That aside, I thought this was an excellent match. And I thought this was a great main event to close out their run at Daly's Place. They pitched it to a highlights video to close out the show. And everything there was going well until the last 5 seconds of the show when Jim Ross made his WWE Dynamite reference and everybody just went, You know, it's one thing, mistakes happen, and I love Jim Ross. Jim Ross is the greatest of all time at wrestling play-by-play. I admit, Gordon Solie, the prime of Gordon Solie was before my time as a fan. So if you're a little bit older than I am, and if you were watching the NWA or other promotions at the time that Soli was doing commentary, you might feel that Gordon Soli is the best of all time. Jim Ross would say that Gordon Soli is the best of all time. Well, Jim Ross is wrong, in my opinion. So I have nothing but respect for the body of work that Jim Ross has put together in his career. And it pains me to, you know, lob any criticism at Jim Ross as an announcer because his resume speaks for itself. But this is not the first time that something like this has happened. And when I say not the first time, I don't mean the first time him fucking up on commentary. This is not the first time that he has said WWE. He hasn't worked for WWE in years. You're the lead announcer on AEW Dynamite now. You have been for the past 2 years. You can't be making that mistake. It's embarrassing. So that's how they closed out the show. Jared M says Bob Caudle. Well, Bob Caudle is another, you know, he's a legend. I don't know that anybody is going to say that Bob Caudle, though, is the best play-by-play guy in wrestling history. Lance Russell. Oh, there you go. Lance Russell, right? Although, according to Kevin Dunn, nobody knows who Lance Russell is. That's why he wouldn't let Lance Russell induct Jerry Lawler into the Hall of Fame like Lawler wanted. Nobody's going to know who he is, Jerry. We'll get William Shatner. We'll get him. We'll get Captain Kirk. Fucking imbecile. Next Wednesday, Dynamite is back on the road live from Miami for their Road Rager show, and we will get an AEW Tag Team Championship defense. The Young Bucks, who will not be losing 2 weeks in a row, will be defending their titles against Eddie Kingston and Penta. We also have a South Beach strap match between Cody Rhodes and QT Marshall. Andrade El Idolo against Matt something. Matt Sydal. A trios match with Jake Hager, Santana, and Ortiz of the Inner Circle with Conan in their corner. Taking on Wardlow and FTR with Tully Blanchard in their corner. I suspect that we're going to get some fisticuffs between Conan and Tully Blanchard. We'll see. Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander take on The Blade and The Bunny. Chris Jericho and MJF will have themselves a face-to-face standoff. I guess we'll find out what those stipulations are that MJF has for the match that he and Jericho are going to be having, I assume, at All Out. We'll see. So that is the lineup for the first Dynamite back out on the road outside of Jacksonville next week. Still in Florida, but in 2 weeks they'll be in Texas, I believe. So they'll be out of the state of Florida in 2 weeks. Let's take a look at what you guys thought of the show tonight. Twitter poll results are very positive so far. 82.3% thumbs up, 17.7% thumbs down. As Minoru Suzuki appears on my screen for this latest super chat here. I do miss seeing Suzuki. I am still holding out hope at some point that we will see Suzuki make an appearance in AEW. And that he will murder some of the AEW roster members. That's what he does, right? He's murder grandpa. That's what people call him. Anyway, vote in the poll at Solomonster on Twitter. Let us take a look here. It's one of my favorite parts here of the stream each and every week, where we get to interact here, you and I, and we throw it to your messages and your comments and questions, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of WWE Dynamite cracks here, I'm sure. But let's see. Let's take a look here. Oz and Glorious kicks us off here on the Super Chats. A full episode of Dynamite with no QT Marshall anywhere to be found. A-plus show. So Oz and Glorious, not a QT fan. Ken terminated by DQ with the $5 super chat. Ken, I hope you are having a great night. No Vicky's Hog Splash, no QT Marshall, and an excellent main event. I agree with my dog, Oz and Glorious. Really good Dynamite. Before I even looked at the next part of your sentence, I thought you were literally talking about your dog. And I was going to say, your dog watches Dynamite with you. That's very cool. But then I realized you were talking about Oz, and that's not as cool. But thank you, Ken. Bryant Becerra With the $15, oh my God, JR saying in the end to see a live WWE event had me cracking up. Yeah, you know, Stephen Lewis in the chat, I think that's what it is. I really do. He says JR wants to come back home. I don't think that JR hates it in AEW, although I think, this is just my opinion, okay? Because JR is an old school guy, and we've heard JR go off on this on his podcast before. I've even defended him when some of the AEW talent was kind of, you know, ganging up on him and didn't like some of the comments that he made about too many, you know, high spots and just dives and things of that nature. I don't think that it's a style that JR is necessarily the biggest fan of. And I do think that JR spent so many years working for Vince McMahon and working in WWE, he still considers that his home. And I do think a part of him wants to go back home before all is said and done. He doesn't know how many more years he's going to be doing this for. I think he genuinely enjoys being out there. He doesn't have any intention of retiring, if it's up to him. But I think that's part of it. I think he's homesick for WWE. He still has WWE on the brain. I think there's something to that. Food Hive. It feels damn good to be back with the chat. It's been 9 days. 9 days. Good to hear from you, Food Hive. Food Hive again. The night was almost perfect. Damn it, JR. Ryan Spies. Jim Ross is lucky he's Jim Ross. At this point, most commentators would have been out of a job by now with how bad of a job he does most weeks. Level 20 Facto Tomb. Shout out to Jungle Boy on winning the real prize this week. Indeed. The Mount Vernon Kid, the Alpha, sent a $5 super chat after Super Pile Driver took me out of the main event match. I agree. Not a fan of that. Not a fan of that not being the finish. Oz and Glorious. FYI to my fellow 80s kigs, the OG Zombies Ate My Neighbors just came out for the Switch yesterday. So there you go. Andrew Jorlog with a $20 super chat. Andrew, what's going on? Happy Bobby Bonilla Day from your resident Braves fan and my 38th birthday as well. Oh, so you're celebrating. There's another birthday. I just ran through all the birthdays earlier. You and Mike Tyson. Look at that. You and Mike Tyson and Alicia Fox. You all share a birthday. Unless your birthday is tomorrow. I think that's what he means. Okay, I take that back. I thought your birthday was today. I think he's talking about Bobby Bonilla Day. That's tomorrow. Well, in any event, happy birthday to Andrew. I don't think Andrew is going to be getting a check like Bobby Bonilla will, but if you are, you and I should talk. At least he's dropping a super chat, right? So I appreciate that. Maz in the chat. Just says, did I see the Many Saints trailer? I did. I saw the Many Saints of Newark trailer. I was just asking about that a few weeks ago. That is the Sopranos prequel that is coming out in October, I believe it is. October 1st. And I will be watching it. I got chills when I heard Gandolfini's voice at the beginning and then the very end when they play the theme song to the Sopranos. This is going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. Magician Sapphire, buy or sell on who's the bigger gaffe artist, Jim Ross or Michael Cole? Well, I don't know. You know, Cole kind of fucked up the main event call there, the finish of WrestleMania this year. Right now, though, it's Jim Ross. Although with Michael Cole, everything is a blue thunderbomb. Pick your poison. Level 20 again. I'm actually excited for AEW SmackDown on Friday on Fox. Got a bunch of wise asses here in the chat. From one wise ass to another. I appreciate that. Ryan Egler, Omega versus Hangman is coming, and so am I. Well, that's TMI. I didn't need to know that. Come on, Ryan. Rodimus Prime with a $35 super chat. Besides all of these wrestler birthdays, I want to say happy birthday to my mom. That said, awesome main event and video package. Who would you say is the MVP of the AEW pandemic era? It's a good question. Who is the MVP of the pandemic era in AEW? I was going to say Sting for near perfect attendance during his time there. I don't know. There is no specific MVP that stands out to me the way in WWE, I said that Bayley was one of the MVP, Bayley and Sasha, but especially Bayley, really stood out to me during those Performance Center shows when she started healing on Michael Cole and she was doing the running commentary during her matches and stuff. I really think that that was a positive for her. It was a positive for her career, her promos. There isn't as obvious a person, though, in AEW. There were a lot of different people who shined. Darby Allin. In fact, I might go with Darby Allin by default. He had that TNT title run. He was actually drawing ratings for them in those main events that he was in. Darby might be the closest thing, but Darby was already a star. He was already a star on the rise in this company. You could probably throw a few different names out. Eddie Kingston. Yeah, Jared says Eddie Kingston. Probably Eddie or Darby. Retro A with the $5. Thank you, Retro. Not wrestling related, but what did you think of the Sopranos prequel trailer? I can't wait to see young Paulie. Yeah, like I said, I thought it looks good. And I cannot wait to see it. The only question is, do I watch it in the theater or do I watch it on HBO Max? Since it's going to hit HBO Max at the same time, I'll probably just watch it there. That's what I did with, the Scorsese movie with De Niro. Remind me in the chat what that was called. I watched that on HBO Max. So I'll probably just do the same thing with that. Halloween, I'm going to have to go to the theater to see that, since apparently they're only releasing it in the theater. You got to get the theater experience for that. So when Halloween Kills comes out, I'll be at the movie theater watching that. Alex Jimenez. JR is watching Don Tony Sounds Off. Yes, sir. Welcome, everybody. The Irishman. Thank you, Abdul Rahman. The Irishman. Yes, that's what I was thinking of. Yes, welcome to Don Tony Sounds Off here on YouTube. Oh, boy. Mr. Wombat with the $10. A good buddy of mine and I were at the show. AEW Dark Elevation and Dynamite were live as well as the crowd. I'm not sure how it came across on TV, but we all seemed to have a great time. And I don't know, Mr. Wombat, if you want to chime in the chat, doesn't have to be a super chat. What did you see? I mean, you probably saw the same thing that I saw in that video on Twitter of the Reba injury when that match was over, or Rebel. But I don't know, maybe if you saw something more than we did. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury. Darby was stealing my gimmick by using a flamethrower. Not cool. Magician Sapphire. I heard people online saying the reason they're delaying the coffin match is because of the recent tragedy in Miami. It might be in bad taste. All right. Yeah, I guess I could see that. I didn't think about that. That did take place in Miami, so that could very well be true. Well, you know, if that's the case, I'll cut him some slack. I totally blanked on that. I didn't even put two and two together on that, but I could see where people might be upset. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It can't be an injury, because if they're delaying it to Fyter Fest is a week later. So it's not an injury-related thing. It didn't make any sense to me why they would announce it and then just delay it, but that would explain it. Jared M. with that $45 bomb from earlier, which I already read, Jared, so thank you for that. Naif Alsafar with the $9.99. Thank you, Naif. Always good to hear from you. Dry chicken without flavor. I'll admit, I like these guys and females in AEW, but I'm getting Dark Order, Best Friends, Young Bucks, Eddie Kingston, and Nyla Rose fatigue. Prince Walker. I can't lie, I died when I saw the Bucks and Kenny's new facial hair. Way to be a heel. Just getting more and more D-bag weekly. The Bucks are very good at being douchebags on television. I much prefer the Young Bucks as the douchebag heels they are now, instead of the bratty baby faces or tweeners or whatever the hell they were supposed to be last fall. That was just a fail. This is much better. This is actually, it seems like, much more of a natural role for them. So I agree with you. You and I are on the same wavelength there. Tracking problems. What a name. I had many VHS tapes back in the day that had tracking problems. Why is there a rare Pepe on the belt plate? It's not I could see where you would think that. If you are referring to Pepe from WCW, I do miss Pepe the horse. But that was Hardy the horse. That was Hardy the horse, the title character from my mother's children's book, which I talked about on the show at the time when the book came out. So it's a little piece of her as part of that championship as well. Spanish Goddess, do you think Thea is heading to AEW? You need to see Clove Hitch Killer, the villain from Organized Crimes, is in a Clove Hitch Killer. I don't know what that is. Is that a Netflix show? Is that a movie? I've never heard of it before. This is the first I'm hearing of it. Tap out Nick. Today is my birthday as well, and did you see Jacob DeGoat wrestling around in the outfield the other day? Yes, I did. And tap out, happy birthday, everybody. If you got the birthday emojis, there's like a birthday cake emoji or some kind of like celebratory emoji, get them in the chat. Everybody wish Tap Out Nick a very happy birthday. We are caught up? I think we're caught up now. Cool. I think we're all caught up on your super chats. Thank you again to everybody who sent one in. I do appreciate the support. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. You would like to vote at Solomonster is the place to go. Everybody was freaked out before. We had 666 votes. Well, now we're up to 708, so you don't need to be freaked out anymore. It's no longer the mark of the beast. So go ahead and vote in the poll if you would. We've got another super chat coming in from Abdul Rahman. $5 super chat. What do you think of Omega's reign so far? I think it's underwhelming, and I've been rewatching Seinfeld lately. Are you and Jerry related? Why would you say that? No, I'm not related to Jerry. Although, I had a teacher many years ago in school. Her name was Mrs. Seinfeld. And we thought that they were related, right? But like half jokingly, like, aha, she has the same name. She must be related to Jerry, right? But you don't actually believe that. But as it turned out, she's like a second cousin of Jerry Seinfeld. So it was very weird. But as far as I know, I haven't done 23andMe to trace my familial history. But no, I don't believe we are related. But to answer your question, what do I think of Omega's reign so far? I mean, it's been okay, I guess. Underwhelming, maybe. I'm trying to think back to like what my favorite Omega title defense would be. It's just different. It's just different from the matches that he was having for the IWGP belt in New Japan. It's not the same. Yeah, people said the same thing to me about Moxley. They felt that his reign was very underwhelming too, and I didn't think it was bad. But I think part of it is just the pandemic era. Everything just feels underwhelming during this era. Right? Everything has that little bit of like, it's a little underwhelming because you're not on the road in front of live crowds. And I don't care how much you try to like put it out of your mind or, oh, I'm kind of used to it by now. That is not how wrestling is supposed to be. Wrestling is meant to be in front of live fans. And I know they have live fans now at Daly's Place. But they got to get out of there and get into other venues. It is not the same thing. I think that that also plays a role in why things feel a little underwhelming when it comes to some of these title reigns. You don't have the same effect. Turtlehead, what if Paige lost to Kenny at All Out, got in incredible shape, and beat him at Full Gear, which was supposed to be his event? Yeah, I mean, I said that before. They could do two matches where Kenny wins the first one and then Hangman has to fight his way back and gets a rematch and wins it there. You could do that too. And I kind of feel like maybe that wouldn't necessarily be the worst thing in the world. That way you get a big main event out of it at Full Gear. I mean, Full Gear is his event. I mean, that's where the name comes from, right? It comes from some being the elite stuff, you know, way back when with Hangman. I kind of associate that event with him. And that would be the 1 year of their earlier match, the match that got Kenny to his title match with Moxley, where he won the championship. So I think that scenario would be fine. In fact, that might be the way that I actually book it. Loop Cannon in the chat says, JTG just followed me on Twitter. Well, JTG's followed me for years. I interviewed him twice on my show. He's always an entertaining guest. He's got entertaining books, too. If you've never read the book, read the e-book, you should check it out. I've seen pictures, by the way, of JTG recently. He's gotten into incredible shape. I mean, he is just, you talk about swole. He's in, he looks very different than he did in WWE. I'll say that. If Vince McMahon took a look at him now, Vince McMahon would be like, Vince McMahon wouldn't even recognize him. He'd be like, well, Shelton, you've gotten yourself into tremendous shape. Anyway, what else we got going on here in the chat before we wrap up? Tracking problems with another super chat. I'm buying a copy of Hardy the Horse as we speak. My mother was an artist as well, and I miss her every day. Much love. Well, I thank you very much. That means a lot. We've had a lot of people leave positive feedback on Amazon, and it's the easiest way to buy the book is through Amazon. And I don't know if that's where you're getting it from, but that means a lot. We're actually coming up. I can't believe it. We're coming up on the 2-year anniversary that I got the book published. It was late July in 2019. Now, one of the best days of my life, I have to tell you. Once that book was officially published and readily accessible, it just, you know, it was one of those things that we talked about and worked on for so long. And you know, it didn't get done while she was alive, but it was like her passion project. And she wasn't around to see it become a reality. But once, you know, I found a publisher who believed in the story, because you could always go the self-publishing route. There's nothing wrong with that. But I wanted a real publisher to partner with and to help bring this book, you know, to reality. And it's a long process as far as editing and getting everything taken care of and, you know, legally and everything else that goes with it. So the day that that thing went live and that book got published in her name, she became an officially published author in the Library of Congress. She's got her own Library of Congress, you know, ID number and everything. I mean, that's, I can't put into words, you know, what that meant, so. Yeah, if anybody watching is not aware of it, you know, it's called The Adventure of Hardy the Horse. And if you have kids or you know someone who has young children, you know, even up to age 7 or 8, you know, it's a great children's book. Great illustrations in the book. Mark Poulton, who has done work for DC Comics, helped illustrate the book. Very talented. Can't say enough good things about what he did for that story. Luis, our old friend Luis, is joining us. Look at this. Luis Belmont Show with the $10 Russo on a pole, bro. Super chat. I asked a teacher once if she was related to Kaylee Cronin from Zoom, the TV show that was on PBS. Since her last name was Cronin, turned out she wasn't related to Kaylee. I don't know who that is. You'll have to educate me on who that is, but that's very interesting. Luis, thank you for the $10 drop. How is Hangman going to go being AEW champion with the baby coming in November? Won't he want time off? That's right. You know, Hangman is an expecting father. Hangman is having a kid right around that time. You make a good point. You know, Moxley had a kid, and look, he vanished. He disappeared. You would think that Hangman is going to need some time off as well. Well, I don't know. They're gonna have to work that out. Maybe the kid can just stay in the womb for a little bit longer, right? I mean, we're talking about a world title run here. I mean, I know these things usually take 9 months, but you know, maybe go 11 or 12 and let him get a few months under his belt as champion before he drops it. Luke, a Solomonster from me and the Soep family. What's going on, Luke? Hope you guys are doing well. King of Doug style in the chat. Well, hold on a second. This chat's going way too fast. I like it. I like all the activity, but we gotta back up here so I don't miss some of your messages. Let's see. Do I see the Iconics going to AEW? I don't. And they're actually dealing with some visa issues because now they're not employed. And they're not really able to officially work anywhere until they get that worked out. And that could be a lengthy process. So that's a tough situation to be in. Shrey in the chat. Everybody in AEW popping babies, or babbies, as he says. They're called babbies now. Yeah, they mentioned that referee Paul Turner apparently is having a kid soon. I don't know what's going on. Something in the water there in AEW. Johnny Bernie thinks that we're going to get Shaq against Paul White at All Out. Shaq has said he's going to wrestle again in AEW. So I absolutely believe there is a very good chance we will get Shaq and Paul White at some point. Didn't happen in WWE. It happened in a battle royal. It didn't happen one-on-one. Now you got them both in the company at the same time. Shaq wants to wrestle again. He did a tag match already. If he's going to do a singles, well, there you go. That would be an attraction. I mean, I can't say that I'm dying to see it, but it would be an attraction. Maz cannot understand how the Iconics cannot earn money from their podcast. Yeah, I heard Peyton Royce say that. And again, I guess it's based on the visa situation. Until they can get their work visas straightened out, I guess technically they're not allowed to draw an income. That's the only thing I can figure. So they're not allowed to make any money off their podcast. So they're doing a podcast to keep their name out there, but they can't actually make any money off of it until this situation is resolved. Oz and Glorious, buy or sell, being swallowed by a black hole that eats neutron stars, or hear what chance forever? I'll take my chances with the black hole. Dry chicken without flavor, AEW women's division has been cooled down again. I'm going to assume they will bounce back in August to get ready for All Out. No expectations in July. Well, I don't know why you wouldn't have expectations in July. You're going back out on the road. So July is not the time to be taking a back seat here. So whatever they're going to be doing with the women, July is exactly the time that they should be ramping up because you're going back on the road. You've got 2 weeks of Fyter Fest. You've got some big shows coming up in front of big crowds. This is the time to put your best foot forward. I don't agree with that. This is not the time to just be taking a load off here. You're going back out on the road. You got to put your best show on that you possibly can. That means you put the best matches out there that you can possibly put on. Solomonster, do you see Reigns, Cena, or Reigns and Brock at SummerSlam? It's going to be Reigns and Cena. That's going to be the main event of SummerSlam. Rob Reed, dropping a $5 super chat. How crazy is it that Miro went from feeling like a flop to the best thing on the show? It's all in the booking. They could have continued the video game thing for another 6 months, and people would have said, what are you doing? This guy should be a killer. Well, they finally ended that, and now this is exactly the way that people were hoping that Miro, I think most people were expecting Miro to be when he first came into the company. So a little change in the booking can make all the difference in the world. Exactly what they are doing with him now is exactly what they need to continue to do. Lone Wolf with the $5. Thanks for another great WWE Dynamite review. How long before JR throws it to his broadcast partner, Jerry the King Lawler? You know, that's the next step. He's going to turn to Tony Schiavone and go, King. He's going to call him King. And Tony's going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Lakers Pats says, who should face Bobby at SummerSlam? What about Goldberg? I don't have any interest in that. I mean, Goldberg already fought for the WWE title this year, and he lost at the Royal Rumble. Goldberg will be back. He does not need to be wrestling for the WWE title. They got to get Brock. Brock and Lashley is the match to do. Throw whatever you have to throw at Brock to get. He's going to come back at some point. Now would be a perfect time for it. You've waited this long. The time is right. Make the match happen. There's your double main event for SummerSlam. Roman and Cena, Lashley and Lesnar. There it is. Epsilon Sama with the $5. WWE Dynamite was fire, but not as fire as Jungle Boy Jack Perry grabbing Anna Jay. Also still waiting on Bryan Danielson's debut. Well, you're going to be waiting a while because I have a feeling, and this is just my opinion, that it is only a matter of time until we hear that Daniel Bryan has re-signed with WWE. Now, maybe WWE will give in on a new contract and allow him to work dates for other promotions, so long as those promotions are not AEW. But maybe they will work out something that allows him to do some dates for New Japan if they want to keep him bad enough. But I don't believe we have seen the end of Daniel Bryan in WWE. I am not expecting him to pop up in AEW. Morton in the chat says, hey, Solomonster and chat. Hello, Morton. One of our channel members. I know that because I see that badge by your name. That's what that is, by the way. If you're new to the channel, you will see people with badges using special emojis that they have access to. You can become a Solomonster channel member here on YouTube. Hit that join button down below. It'll give you all the information on there. Mr. Mike says, did you notice the Jungle Boy had a little more pep in his step tonight? I did notice that, in fact. Would I be interested in a Roman Reigns against Chad Gable program? Well, I mean, at some point, if Gable were built up as a credible babyface, right now he's a heel. Otis is the one who is really the person being pushed in that team. So I would see Otis in that role before I would see Gable. But they're all heels, so it kind of doesn't work right now. You got to give the people someone to cheer for. And as long as they're heels, that just doesn't work. What is a tag team name for Hangman and Stone Cold? Oh, boy. I guess, Stone Man or Hang Cold? Rob Reed with the $5 can't wait for the waterworks to flow when -1 convinced Hangman to fight Kenny. Uh-huh. Oh, boy, you're going deep on this one. Huh? I didn't even think of -1. Well, only if he gets his homework done. You're drinking Modelo? Well, I guess I shouldn't talk. I was drinking Bud Light the other day, so. It was a barbecue, and it was either that or, what was the other one? It was either Bud Light or Heineken. I went with Old Faithful. Stone Drunk. There you go. That's a good name for a Hangman Steve Austin tag team. Stone Drunk. Are you ready for Happy Corbin? Yeah, apparently that is the rumor that is going to be the new name. I think they trademarked Happy Corbin and Baron Corbin might be going babyface soon. Can't be any worse than King Corbin. He can only go up from here. 2 years of King Corbin is enough for me. You know, Amiibo says Harpoon IPA. I'm not like a big IPA guy. I'm not really a big beer guy, to be honest with you. But has anybody in the chat tried the Stone Cold IPA? Broken Skull, I think it's Broken Skull IPA. I don't even think they sell it around here in New York. I haven't even checked. But I've heard about it. I'm just curious if people have actually tried it and what they think of it. If you have tried his IPA. All right, Dan in the chat says Broken Skull IPA is recommended. It's not in New York City. I think I looked for it once. I couldn't find it anywhere. Jonathan says, had it multiple times at the El Segundo Brewery. It's good, an easy IPA that's smooth like a light Steve Weiser. On the other hand, we have Johnny, who says, tried it at the Major Bro podcast event, too strong. Rin Lambert says his IPA is just your generic IPA. If it's offered to me, I will drink it. He's an easygoing guy. Turtlehead says, I've never drank a beer. I'm 44. Nothing wrong with that. Ray wants to know if I remember the wrestling classic. Yeah, I mean, I've watched it since then, but it, I mean, as far as like memories from when I was younger, vaguely, not really. I don't really know. I don't remember if I even watched it when I was younger or if I didn't see it until, I don't think I saw it until years later. By the way, I didn't even know this until yesterday, and I didn't see this mentioned anywhere. I just happened to stumble across it. If you remember, when the WWE Network was moved over to Peacock. Sounds so fucking dumb even saying it. What a dumb name. Peacock. Anyway, when it moved to the cock, it was a case of, oh, well, we'll get everything up by or before SummerSlam, right? And they had been uploading episodes of Superstars from 92, and they were into 93. I don't know why they haven't gone back and done 89 or 90 or 91. It could have to do with some naming rights thing with the name of the show, Superstars of Wrestling. I don't know. But anyway, they started from 92. And so I started from the first one they posted, and I was watching them in order. And then, of course, they were gone. And all the primetime wrestlings were gone. And they had just started putting up Wrestling Challenge, and then they yanked that. So Challenge, I knew they had put back up. Superstars, they only had episodes up from 94. They had started to upload those, you know, a couple months ago. But nothing from 92. I said, you took down all the stuff from 92 and 93. What are you doing starting with 94? What's going on? So anyway, I'm fiddling around on the cock. And I check, and there it is. They have all the episodes from 1992, all the episodes from 1993 Superstars into the first half of 94. So for those of you who are interested in going back and watching some of it, it looks like it's all back up now. Primetime Wrestling, not all of them, but that's up as well. So they have made progress in getting a lot of that old stuff up. So just be aware of that because I haven't seen that mentioned anywhere. If I didn't accidentally stumble across it, I wouldn't have known myself. Ace of Master just became a Sound Off superstar. Thank you for becoming a channel member. We have two levels, Sound Off Superstar and Sound Off Legend. And he just became a Sound Off superstar. Yeah, and Cerebral Assassin mentioned that Peacock just uploaded all the SmackDown, so those are up now as well. It'd be nice, though, if they actually let people know when they upload these full, complete seasons of these shows, instead of just randomly stumbling across it like, oh, there it is. Whatever, I'm just happy it's up. Ken Terminated says, unpopular opinion, Vince as a broadcaster is overrated, he's just okay. I enjoyed Vince McMahon on commentary. He didn't know the names of any of the moves, but I can't think of anyone better to, you know, get over the stories on television than the guy putting the stories together. He would really get into it, and he knew how to promote those stories on commentary. And he had a certain style. I think it was an acquired taste, but I thought he did a good job with it. Rob Reed just became a Sound of Legend. That gives you access to the old retro lost episodes that are not available anywhere else of the Sound Off from the very beginning, including the first show I ever did in 2007. In fact, the other day I just uploaded episode 8, which is the final show right before Christmas 07, where I was talking about Bobby Lashley had been out with an injury. I think Ken Kennedy had injured him in a match. He was about to come back, and here I am putting the big pitch on about, you can't bring him back as a babyface, the smiling babyface. You got to bring him back as a monster heel and give him a mouthpiece. Let somebody do the talking for him. You bring him back. I think it could work. What do you think? Do you agree? I know it sounds like a wild and crazy idea, but I think it just might work. Anyway, that's part of episode 8. So if you're a Sound Off legend, you can go back and listen to those old shows. Rob, thank you for becoming a member. Oh my God, it's Winky. Just dropped a super chat. Does having a popular YouTube channel get the ladies? I don't know. When I have one, I'll let you know. Beowulf. It's a shame that Umaga never had a run. He was over as hell as a heel. Yeah, Umaga, it's a shame. But they tried to help him there at the end of his run and send him to rehab, and he just, he's like Amy Winehouse. He said no, no, no. He didn't want to go, and we all see how that turned out. You know, as adults, sometimes you make poor decisions. Sounds like that's what happened with Umaga. C. Moonsaw, what's going on, my friend? Hey, Monster, I'm having a birthday party next Monday. We'll all watch Monday Night Raw and eat cake. You and everybody listening are invited. Well, I love cake. Depends what kind of cake it is, but vanilla cake, some chocolate frosting. I don't have cake very often, but usually on my birthday, I'll make an exception. But happy birthday. Happy early birthday. Rob Reed. Lashley as a heel. That'll never work. I know. It's probably crazy. It's probably a dumb idea. Sorry I even brought it up. You're right. It'll never work. Favorite Raw wedding. Favorite Raw wedding might be the one where Kane popped his head out from under the ring. Was that Edge and Lita? Might have been Edge and Lita. That he tombstoned the priest. Jacob Fatu is killing it in MLW. Somebody he needs to be on a bigger stage. Apparently he's lost a lot of weight too during this period of time off for MLW. So he's going to be in even better shape when he comes back. I think he dropped like 25 or 30 pounds, he said. Yeah, the Triple H and Stephanie renewal ceremony where they renewed their vows. That was a good one. That was, except for Vince botching the pedigree on the first attempt. He went before Triple H was ready to drop him, and that was unfortunate. Who do I think will get married on AEW Dynamite? Well, didn't we already see a wedding? We saw Kip and Penelope. That's all the weddings we need. I don't need any more wrestling weddings for a while. No more weddings. Everyone's popping out babies and shit. That's it. No more. No more of this mushy crap. Let's get back down to violence. That's what wrestling is all about. Jake Roberts at Randy Savage's wedding. Well, he said Raw wedding, though. That predates the days of Raw, so that's why. Otherwise, I might have said the match made in heaven from SummerSlam in 91. Am I going to get married in a WWE ring? That would imply that I'm going to get married. I can't say that interests me much. Billy and Chuck. That was SmackDown, not Raw. But Billy and Chuck, that was a very well done segment. That really is one of the better segments in SmackDown history. They definitely pulled that one off very well. I will give them 5 stars on the execution of that. Yeah, Rin says he cringed when we got what chance tonight? Well, you better get used to it because we're going to be getting it a lot more often, and not just in AEW. We're going to be getting it a lot more in WWE. That was the worst, you know, as big of a star as Steve Austin was, and for all that he gave the wrestling industry, the worst, single worst contribution he ever gave to wrestling is that fucking what chant. And to be honest with you, the other contribution that kind of fucked over wrestling is just how hot in such a short period of time that he got. Because there will never be anybody else to rise as high and as quickly as he did to the levels that he did with the types of television audiences and sold-out buildings they had. I just don't see anybody in wrestling today who's going to be able to replicate that kind of success. And so you kind of, everyone's success is sort of measured against that, right? Austin and Rock. And it's almost unfair because who's going to rise to that level? Who do you see right now in wrestling, in AEW or in WWE, who will rise to that level? That would imply that wrestling is as hot as it was back then. It's not. But like in WWE, they don't allow people to get that hot anymore because it's not about making a megastar. It's about the brand. I think John Cena was the last, whether you define him as a megastar or not, might be a matter of opinion, but he was the last one, I think, of that era of creating these stars that are almost larger than the company itself. I don't think WWE wants that anymore. I don't think they want to create a star at that level anymore. I really don't. Then they lose control of them. I don't think they want that. Lakers says Roman is the only one, but Roman is great. But Roman is not at that level. Nobody is at that level right now. Daryl says Austin will live forever with the what chance? He's going to live forever in the worst way. Austin will live forever regardless because he's one of the biggest stars in the history of the business. He doesn't need the what chance to live on. He will live on forever and be well known long after he's gone, regardless of the what chance. The what chance tarnishes his legacy. I'm sorry. It is the single worst contribution that he ever made. And he has since apologized for it. But it is the single worst contribution he ever made to the wrestling business. DJT Cartoon says, CM Punk was the last wrestler who could have been a big star, but they blew it. Well, we'll never know. I don't want to say that he would have gotten to Austin level because I don't believe that. But could he have been bigger than he was? Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. In fact, as much success as he had in the summer and the fall of 2011, summer of Punk, right, the start of his 434-day title reign, even still, they bungled that. They bungled that. Coming out of Money in the Bank when he won the belt, they dropped the ball on that whole thing. He got over in spite of it, but he could have been even bigger. That's the shame. Anonymous with the super chat. With Omega working hurt, do you think Sami Callihan will go over at Slammiversary? I'd say it's more likely than people would think. I think there's a very good chance that not only does he lose to Sami, but he drops the AAA Mega title to Andrade in August. I think he may be slowly dropping that gold until he drops the AEW belt to Hangman. And then he'll probably take some time off to heal up. Because they're going to need him. They're going to need him to come back healthy. Who is winning Money in the Bank? Well, I'll probably do my final Money in the Bank predictions the week before. But early favorites on the men's side have to be Drew McIntyre or Big E. We don't even know everybody in the match yet. I think there's two spots open. Right now, though, it's got to be Drew or Big E as the favorites. On the women's side, I would say Alexa. Alexa Bliss is probably the favorite. Why can't she just put some kind of, while everybody is scurrying up the ladder to grab the briefcase, can't she use her hypnotic powers to, overturn the ladder and they all go tumbling down? Or she just sort of stares up at the briefcase and waves her hand, and then the briefcase it's released from the harness and it drops. See, the one thing is that they're going to be back in front of a live crowd for Money in the Bank. So some of this magic shit is not going to work in front of the live audiences. See, that's the thing. When you're out of the Thunderdome and you don't have the benefit of having no crowd, you're not going to be able to get away with crash pads and magic tricks the way that you did before. You're going to have to actually get over doing traditional wrestling stuff in front of a traditional wrestling audience. Not going to be able to lean into this as a handicap anymore. You're not going to be making movies. You're going to have to go the old school route. Without getting booed out of the building. But I still think Alexa Bliss has got to be the early favorite to win on the women's side. So apparently via Sean Ross Sapp, Rebel dislocated her kneecap, which sounds very painful. Very painful. So, and it will keep her out of action for a while. But I wasn't sure if she had an ACL tear or a broken leg. So that actually sounds like the lesser of the evils that I was kind of thinking it could be, but that still does not sound like a fun injury. So best wishes to Rebel. That sucks, but hopefully she'll get well soon. I guess she's going to be going back to the crutches soon on TV. She's going to be wearing that crutch for as long as Cowboy Bob had the cast on his arm, or D'Lo had the chest protector. Spanish Goddess, favorite Queen song. it might be an obvious choice, but I have to go with Bohemian Rhapsody. Funny enough, I will always associate Bohemian Rhapsody with a certain movie. I know some of you are going to guess offhand what it is. That might have been the first time I ever really heard the song, now that I think about it. Which is hard to believe, but it was that Wayne's World movie. And that's where I became a big fan of the song. That one scene in Wayne's World. So I have to go with Bohemian Rhapsody. I will always associate that movie and that song. Yeah, We Will Rock You. Another classic. Another One Bites the Dust. How could I forget? Yeah, that's another favorite. That is another favorite as well. Favorite Cardi B song? I don't think one exists for me. I don't think I could legitimately even name you a Cardi B song. I mean, if you force me to name one song right now, I don't think I could tell you one. I'm sure I've heard of a bunch of them, but I couldn't actually tell you what they are. The director of Wayne's World apparently wanted that scene cut. Well, the director of Wayne's World's a fucking idiot, if that's the case. That's the only thing I remember about that whole movie. Spanish Goddess, oh yeah, I met the Million Dollar Man on Sunday, and the dude was awesome. What is your favorite memory of Rick Rude? Rick Rude was part of one of my favorite botches in WWE history, and all he was doing was just standing there. He didn't do anything wrong, but it was the SummerSlam sign that fell at the Meadowlands during the Mean Gene promo, and Mean Gene went, fuck it. Rude was standing there, was supposed to be doing a promo. But beyond that, I enjoyed Rick Rude's overselling of Atomic Drops. And I very much enjoyed the second match that he had with the Ultimate Warrior, their match at SummerSlam 89. I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed that. Oh, yeah. Michael Cole said Bray Wyatt came out of a box-like structure. Yeah, right. We all came out of a box-like structure. All right, guys. I think it's about that time. We should wrap this show up. I am enjoying scanning your chats here. Everybody seems to be having a good time. It's really great to be back with everybody on a Wednesday, and hopefully there won't be any more preemptions for a while, so we can kind of get back into the rhythm of things here and get back out on the road. Dynamite going back out on the road. Very excited now to see Dynamite in other buildings, in front of other people, not just Jacksonville fans. And, of course, I'll be back with you for the Dynamite stream next Wednesday. I'll be with you this weekend, in fact, for episode 711 of the Sound Off, a July 4th Sound Off. Celebrate your Independence Day with the podcast this Sunday, because we'll be doing all the latest news of the week. Talk about Raw, SmackDown, NXT, which is just going down, down, down. Did you see the ratings this week? They've gone in the last 3 weeks. NXT has gone from something like 690-something thousand to 665,000 to, I believe, 635,000 this week. They're going the wrong way. That is a bad direction for NXT. It's like they're hemorrhaging viewers each week. But we'll talk about the NXT show. We'll talk about this week in history. We will be back next Wednesday, first Dynamite on the road in a very long time. Until then, be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great week. And I will see you again for more Dynamite back on Wednesdays. And it feels so good. See you next week. Take care, guys.